if you and I were to sit down together and compile a list of prominent women who are in the Bible, who'd make that list? I think we'd have to put Eve on the list. Eve was the first woman, Eve was the first mother, and Eve is the mother of all living. So Eve would make the list. We certainly would have to put Mary, the mother of Jesus, on that list. Of all women who have ever lived, God saw her, and God found favor in her. She carried in her body the Messiah, and she raised the Son of God. I'd put Hannah on my list. She prayed to the Lord, "Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And that's exactly what she did. I'd put Dorcas on the list. Dorcas was a woman who gave her life to making clothes and garments and giving them to the poor and to the needy. But of everybody that we chose, to either put on the list or to keep off of the list, there is one woman in the Bible whose name is not known. And this one woman, whose names we have no idea of, Jesus said about her, "I'm not going to allow you to ever forget her." Here is a woman that you cannot forget. So Jesus explains all of this in a three-word verse. In Luke, the 17th chapter, and in verse 32, Jesus simply said, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. So that causes me to then ask this question. What do we remember about Lot's wife? Jesus said, "Don't you ever forget her and remember Lot's wife." So I'm thinking, okay, what is it that we are to remember, and what do we remember about her? Well, if you go back to Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 through 26, there were two angels that entered into the city of Sodom. They approached Lot. And they told Lot, "Get your family, your wife, your daughters, if you have sons-in-law, get your family and flee from this city. Because the sins of this city have become so great that God is now going to destroy this city. Fire and brimstone is going to, look, hell is going to come out of heaven and destroy this city." Early the next morning, the angels returned to Lot, and they said to Lot, right now, get your wife, your daughters, your family, and get out of here now. The angels, listen to me, the angels then took Lot by his hand, they took Lot's wife, and Lot's two daughters by their hand, and they led them out of the cities. They are being led out of the cities with the angels holding their hand. When they got to the edge of the city, the angels gave them two directions. They said, number one, run. Flee this place. The second directive that the angel gave them was, don't look back. Now they obeyed the first command. They ran. But as the city behind her burned, according to verse 26 of Genesis chapter 19, Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Now, fast forward from Genesis 19 and go all the way across history now back to Luke 17 and verse 32, where Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Now, what are we supposed to remember? Look, from the event of Genesis 19, what is it that we need to remember, and what was it that was so important that Jesus says, here is a woman, I'm not going to allow you to forget, and now I want you to remember her. What are we supposed to remember about her? There are several things. I want you to notice with me first. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Well, remember what? Brethren, she reminds us that we must never take God's warnings lightly. Are you listening? She was warned. She was warned. She was told. Don't look back. But she looked back, and that's the last thing she ever did. Now, what does this point to? Brethren, what this points to is something that maybe no generation who has ever lived before needs to understand more than this generation. What this points to is that God means what he says. God means what he says. Listen. God wasn't making up the rules as this went along. Lot's wife was told in advance, don't look back. When she was in Sodom, she was told, you're going to run, but don't look back. And the instructions that she was given was given to her in words that were very easy to understand. Don't look back. She was warned. She was warned. And we have been warned also. We have all been warned about our need of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? God has made salvation available to every one of us. God would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. In order to make that salvation possible, God had to offer up His only begotten Son for our sins. The writer of Hebrews says, listen, how shall we escape if we neglect this? If you neglect this salvation, or if you reject God's salvation, there is no way you're going to escape the wrath of God. And like Lot's wife, we're told this in advance. We all know it right now. She was warned. We have been warned. We have been warned about the need of salvation. We have been warned about the coming of death. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die. Listen. You have a non-negotiable, non-refundable appointment with death. One out of one die. Old people will die. Young people can die. And we know this. We know in advance. Look, I got it. I understand it. But we have also been warned about the coming of judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We have been warned. Jesus said, look, here is a woman. I'm not going to let you forget her. Remember Lot's wife. What do you want me to remember? What I want you to remember is that Lot's wife reminds us God's warnings must never be taken lightly. The next time you are tempted to take God's warnings lightly, the next time you are tempted to ignore God's warnings, the next time you are tempted to say God doesn't mean what He says, remember Lot's wife. The place was Jamestown, Pennsylvania. At the edge of town, there was a dam, and cracks developed in the wall. Officials were called out, and they looked at the wall holding the dam. And the officials told the people of Jamestown, you need to evacuate the city. They said, we're not going to evacuate a whole city because of a couple of cracks. 2 years passed. The original cracks had gotten worse, and more cracks were forming. They called the officials back out. The officials examined it and said, listen, this isn't a matter of if, this is a matter of when, and you people need to get out of this city. But they didn't. The place, Jamestown, Pennsylvania, the date, May 31st, 1889, the wall gave in. 2,200 people died. 2,200 people who had been warned and who ignored it died. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever forget Lot's wife. Because Lot's wife is telling every one of us that God's warnings must never be taken lightly. God means what he says. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember what? A second thing she reminds us is that Lot's wife reminds us that our destiny is not determined by our advantages, but by our choices. Now, Aja, follow me carefully here. This is so important. Look, our destiny isn't determined by our advantages. Our destiny is determined by the choices that we make. Now, Lot's wife had some unique advantages. Her first advantage is that her husband was Lot. When the New Testament describes Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that Lot was a righteous man, a just man. The word righteous or just, depending on the translation, that word in that verse, 2 Peter 2, 7, literally means one who lives according to God's standard. So she was married to a man who lived his life according to God's standard. That's an advantage. But a second advantage that Lot's wife had, she was related to Abraham. Her husband Lot was Abraham's nephew. She's related to Abraham. Abraham was the first Hebrew. Abraham was the father of the Hebrew nation. Abraham is called a friend of God. Abraham is the man that Paul holds up in the book of Romans and says justification comes by faith. And here's the example, and the example was Abraham. She was related to Abraham. Her third advantage is that an angel took her by the hand and led her out of the city and said, run. An angel led her away from danger. Listen to this. She had advantages. She had some unique advantages. But her advantages are not what determined her destiny. Her destiny was determined by a single choice. One choice determined her destiny. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I've thought about this before I'm saying it. And I'm not going to unsay it, and don't come up here and get me till I'm through saying it. But I mean this. I mean this. I dare say every one of us in here at some point in the course of our lives have had angels to take us by the hand and lead us out of danger. Now, are you listening? Your angel hands may have been a mother and or a father and or a grandmother or somebody who raised you to live right. The hands of the angel that led you out of danger may have been a mother, a grandmother, or a father who taught you that you ought to love God, you ought to treat other people like you want to be treated, and that you ought to respect authority. Your angel hands may have been a Bible school teacher. Mine was in the third grade. Those angel hands belonged to a sister in Christ named Pat Howell. And every single Sunday, she pounded the plan of salvation in. What you need to do to be saved, here are the verses that prove what you need to do to be saved. And when I got out of third grade, I knew those steps, I knew those verses, I could quote those verses, and from the end of the third grade till this day, I've quoted them for 50 years. Angel hands. Your angel hands may have been a preacher sometime in your past who stood in a pulpit with a Bible that was open and would Sunday after Sunday pour his heart out to you. Your angel hands may have been an elder somewhere in the Lord's church. Someone who encouraged you, someone who talked to you, someone who told you, listen, if you're at the end of the rope, tie a knot in it and hold on, because God will be there before you let go. Your angel hands may have been a public school teacher. Somebody who at one time in your life gave you what you needed more than anything else, a listening ear. Your angel hands may have been a neighbor or a mentor or a coach, somebody who has led you out of danger. Now, brethren, listen to me. Advantages are great blessings. They are. But I don't care what your advantages are, you have to keep following, living the Lord's way. Lot's wife, listen to me, Lot's wife, you're married to a righteous man, you're related to one of the greatest ever, you've had angels, angelic beings help you. What she tells us, don't forget her, what she tells us is that our destiny isn't determined by our advantages, our destiny is determined by the choices we make. Sunday morning choice. Am I going to get up or not? It's a choice. It's a choice. Am I going to get up? Am I going to get ready? Am I going to, God help me, am I going to take advantage of the greatest blessing I have in all of life to worship my Creator? Or am I going to roll over? It's a choice. Well, you know what? A bunch of us are going over to this place. Do you want to come? And you're thinking, you know what? I don't do well in that place. It's a choice. Am I going to go or am I not going to go? I got friends. Now, they're pitiful friends, and we all have pitiful friends. Amen. And every time I go with them, it just doesn't end well. And now here they are with their pitiful selves. Come on, go with us. And you're telling, listen, this is not going to end well. Listen, it's a choice. Do you hear what I'm telling you? And it's simple, and they're not simple, but they're simple choices like those that will determine our destiny. Jesus said, don't forget her. Don't forget her. And I'm like, okay, if Jesus said it, it's got to be a big deal. Remember Lot's wife. What am I remembering here? She's reminding me God's warning should never be taken lightly. God means what he says. Remember what? What am I remembering here? She reminds me that my eternal destiny isn't based on all the advantages I've had, and I've had more than my share. My destiny is determined by Fox's choices. Number three, remember Lot's wife. Remember what? She reminds us that partial obedience is total disobedience. Partial obedience is total disobedience. Now listen, the angels gave her two directives. Two. Number one, flee to sin. Run. The second directive, don't look back. She obeyed the first one. She disobeyed the second one. She obeyed fleeing, but she disobeyed the looking back. The next time you try to make yourself feel better by partially obeying God, remember Lot's wife. The next time you salve your conscience because you've partially obeyed something that God did, remember Lot's wife. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. The only thing she did was look back. That's it. Now, here's what, listen, this is what she did. The angel brings them out of the city. The angel says, flee. And the angel says, don't look back. This is the only thing that Lot's wife did. That's all she did. That's all she did. Did you hear me? That's it. You say, well, what is so wrong about that? What's wrong with it is that she disobeyed God. She disobeyed God. God means what he says. She disobeyed God. That's what's wrong with it. And that's a big deal. Now, I want you to think about something else. I want you to think about something else. She only did it once. Now, wait, what are you laughing? Wait a minute. That's our deal, ain't it? That's what we say, right? Well, I only did it once. Well, it's not like I had a habit of doing this. That is the only time it happened. I only did it once. I only did it once. Listen, I only did it once is the theme song of the guilty who get caught for doing something and then look all surprised because they're in trouble for it. But it was just once. Well, okay, let's look at it like this. What if she had looked back five times? Let's look at it like this. What if she had looked back 25 times? It's not the volume of disobedience that was wrong. It was not the volume of disobedience that was wrong. What was wrong is that she didn't have a heart that would trust God enough to obey him. Only did it once. Only did it once. You know what she's reminding us? I only did it once. You know what she's reminding us? If you don't think you can ruin your life by doing something once, I got three words for you. Remember Lot's wife. She did it once. Number four. There's 15 of these. No. Happy Mother's Day. This is the last one. If you had broke out in applause, there would be 15. Number four. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Remember what? She reminds us there is a cost to disobedience. There is a cost to disobedience. Listen, you play, you pay. There is a cost to disobedience. And if you'll start at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis and read you'll read that truth all the way through. Adam and Eve are placed into paradise. One tree in the middle of the garden, don't touch it, don't eat it, or you'll die. They did touch it, they did eat it. There is a cost for disobedience. Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise. They were expelled from the garden. God told Eve, you will now bear children in pain. God told Adam, you will now work by the sweat of your brow. There is a cost for disobedience. Jezebel, speaking of Mother's Day, Jezebel, let me tell you something about Jesse. Jezebel was the daughter of a king, the king of Phoenicia. Jezebel, the daughter of a king, married Ahab, spineless, weak Ahab. Well, when Jezebel, the daughter of a queen, married a king, she became a queen. Jezebel then went to Israel. Jezebel took the religion she had in Phoenicia, the worship of Baal, she brought it to Israel, and because of her influence and because of her wickedness, Jezebel turned the whole nation of Israel into idolatry, and they stopped worshiping God and worshiped Baal. Are you listening? There's a cost to disobedience. So Jezebel was thrown out of an upstairs window, and the horses stomped her. Well, later on, folks got to thinking, she is the daughter of a king. So we ought to bury her. So they go back to bury her. This is a longer story than I'm telling. They go back to bury her, and the only thing there is her skull, the palms of her hand, and her feet. The dogs had come and ate her, and I'm sure it made them sick as dogs. Listen to me. There's a cost for disobedience. In Acts chapter 12, Herod, who would have been Herod Agrippa the first, Herod put on his royal robe, went out and sat on his royal throne, and the people started giving him praise. And they said, this is not the voice of a man, this is the voice of God. And Herod Agrippa the first got up, yeah, I am a God. And the worms ate him. Listen to me. Josephus, the Jewish historian who lived during those times, Josephus tells that Herod doubled over in pain, that he lived for about a week or so in absolute agony before he died. What happened to Herod? The worms ate him from the inside out. Listen, there's a cost to disobedience. There's Lot's wife. Don't look back, but she looked back. She disobeyed. There's a cost for that. And when we disobey, there's a cost to us. Listen, I'm telling you, listen to me. I can help you big time right here. Your sin, you keep persisting in this, your sin could cost you your marriage. Your sin could cost you the influence you have with your children. If you talk it, you better walk it.
Your sin could ultimately cost you your soul.
Jesus said, don't forget her. When Jesus says, don't forget, whatever comes after that, I'm going to remember. Jesus said, don't forget this woman. Because she's telling me that God's warnings must never be taken lightly. She's telling me it's not my advantages that's going to determine my destiny. It's the choices that I'm making every day of my life. She's telling me that partial obedience is total disobedience. To be almost persuaded is to be totally lost. And she's telling me there's cost to disobedience. Remember Lot's wife. It's three simple words. And I'm begging you on this Mother's Day 2023, be very careful about the decisions you make. Be very careful about this decision in particular. Am I going to fully obey God? Or not? Am I going to fully obey God or not? This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to fully obey God. Well, I believe in God. That's a great start. Now finish. Listen to me. If you're here, and I know that some of you are, and you've let the circumstances of your life, and you've let what life has done to you pull you away from God, and you've blamed God for your circumstances, and God is not, listen, stop blaming God for what the devil is doing. God isn't out to get you, God is out to save you. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You have walked the last step. You have to walk without God, because now you can get God. Remember Lot's wife. Make this decision carefully. Do what you ought to do, and do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.